On today's Chapel Echoes, you'll hear a message by the Executive Vice President of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. Dr. Wood has chosen for his text, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's Dr. Bob Wood with today's message.
Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read a very familiar passage to you in just a few moments and make some comments on this passage. I'm always reminded of the circumstances of the writing of this second epistle to Timothy. The Apostle Paul's in the last year of his life. He's about 69 years old. As near as we can tell, he was around 39 years old when he came to Christ, and he's had a 30-year productive ministry. Years around 66 A.D. Nero's on a rampage. Christians are being persecuted and killed on every hand. It's a dangerous thing to be a Christian. The government is angry at Christianity and sees it as a great danger, sees it as the enemy of the state. It's in this set of circumstances that the Apostle Paul wrote this last letter, and it, as far as we know, is the last thing he ever penned for us. He wrote it to a very special friend, the young pastor Timothy. And it's a real personal letter, but God in His wisdom has chosen to allow us to have it in the canon of Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to teach us many valuable lessons of life. And as Paul sits down and pens this letter, I imagine that he's thinking, my time on earth is about over. He talked about fighting a good fight and running a good race and the crown that was reserved for him. And in a way, I imagine that he was thinking, Timothy is my son in the faith that I'm leaving to carry on this work for me. He talked to him about his pastoral responsibilities and then his personal responsibilities as a pastor. But through the eye of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul looks down the road of time and makes a prediction about the end of the age, is what the term means in the Greek. And he characterizes what society will be like. I'm aware in the ministry to which the Lord's called me, I, for the most part, preach to college-age young people. I'm also aware with college-age young people, the world to you seems pretty much like it was when you were born. And that's easily understandable because you weren't born that long ago. And you haven't, as an adult, observed the great changes that have taken place. But great changes have taken place and are continuing to take place around us. And the circumstances which the Apostle Paul describes to Timothy are such a perfect and complete picture of the world in which we live today. I personally believe that we're living in the last days. I'm looking for the heavens to part and listening for the shout and the trump of God. I believe it could be near. I can't find any prophecies that yet need to be fulfilled before the return of the Lord. And evil men are certainly waxing worse and worse. But I want you to see in this passage of Scripture the prevailing temperaments in perilous times. What is our society like, and what is it going to continue to be like until the Lord comes and takes us out? The first 9 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. Verse 2 and 3 of this passage of Scripture tells us that in the end of the age of which Paul was writing, the people that lived there, for the most part, would be people without character. No character. Reputation is what people think you are. Character is the real you. We used to hear a lot of preaching about character. We don't hear much preaching about character anymore. The highest office in our nation is held by a man with no morals and no character. And that people seem to accept that as the norm. It seems to be accepted as the norm that the truth is really not important. I was overwhelmed a year or so ago to hear news commentators as they talked about leadership in a country. Could a man be a good leader without the things we recognize as good character traits? Morality. Honesty, humility. And you know what they use as an example? Well, we have a man now who doesn't have what we would describe as good character traits, but look at the economy. Isn't it obvious that a man that doesn't have these things that we've classified as good character traits has worked miracles as a leader in the social society in which we live? Hogwash, young people. Who will swallow this kind of foolishness? Who would believe this sort of thing? Well, a lot of good people are drawn in because of their thought process to the lies and foolishness we hear on every hand. They're concerned, the Scripture says, that they shall be lovers of their own selves. There'll be self-love, self-aggrandizement. Their focus is always personal and inward. We have politicians today, but we have few statesmen today. Statesman's a person who's genuinely interested in the people whom he serves as a politician. He's interested in their future, in their lives. And he tries to make laws that regulate the rightness of life. Not only is there this love of self, there is a lust for wealth. They're covetous. They want things. They're things-oriented. You know, our national debt's well over $1 trillion. Credit card debt is absolutely through the ceiling. Why? People can't wait for things. We have to have things. We have to have things right now. Lots of things and conveniences. Why? We can't wait. We're impatient. We have to have material things. there's never been an age that is more materially oriented than our age today. Even in many cases, in the church, central and paramount, new building. We got a new building. We need a gym. We got to have a family life center. We need to have these things. How can we be spiritual without a family life center? Well, I think you can. And these things in themselves are not wrong, but it's the emphasis you put on those things. They're contempt, they're boastful, heady, high-minded, or boastful, haughty, and abusive. You listen to all the charges and countercharges, all the boasting of what men are going to do when they get in certain positions. They speak with outright contempt, abusive in their conversation one toward another, constantly questioning, constantly contradicting, actually, for the most part, constantly lying. It's very difficult to separate the truth from a lie today. You know, their conduct, it says that they're disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. There is no reverence for God, and there's basically no reverence for God today. Where's the fear of the Lord? God said in Malachi's day to the priest of his day, "If I be a father, where then is my fear?" Why is there not this reverential awe over the position that I hold and the care I take for my people? Where's it gone? After a while, it may dawn on ignorant man that he's fighting a losing battle when he chooses to fight God. It won't work. It never will be victorious. Our God is omnipotent and omniscient. They have no reverence for God, no regard for others, no natural affection, no natural affection in the family. The child abuse today, the murders of children today, the abortion where 1.5 million babies are being put to death today. Would you ever believe that with the nature God gives to mothers to love and protect their children, that mothers would ever come to the place that they would pay a physician to partially deliver a baby and then kill it during that delivery? Partial birth abortion is murder. And yet, it's the law of the land. It's what the people want. It stops the inconvenience of children when you don't want them. That's the nation in which you live. That's the society in which you function. They're not only people without character. They're people without conviction, verse 3 through 5. They're false principles. They're despisers of those that are good. They hate those which are good. Has there ever been a time when there was more disdain in this society, in the USA, for Christians than there is today? You know, we've been marked as very dangerous. I mean, we create horrible problems. Now, of course, we can never achieve minority status because for some reason or other, we only recognized when it comes to restrictions. But we're not recognized when it comes to rights and freedoms for the most part. These people live by false principles. They're heady, they're headstrong. And their false principles teach them that what is right is wrong and what's wrong is right. Just look around. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what you see in the newspaper and hear on television. People have twisted right to be wrong and wrong to be right. Their foremost passion, lovers of pleasure. $80 billion spent in America last year on recreational drugs. What in the world is a recreational drug? Well, that's something, recreation is having a good time, relaxing. And so drugs are a part of our recreation today. So society on cocaine and marijuana spends $80 billion a year on recreational drugs. This is a pleasure-seeking society. Just look around. Just look at the intense desire to party, to constantly be in the state of playing, the desire not to work, spend as little time as possible at work, get as much as you can from work, create an antagonistic relationship with your company, hire somebody to negotiate for you with your company. This is a wicked society in which we live, young people. Their false profession, and this is overwhelming. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Not an atheistic nation that says there is no God, just a nation that says, yeah, there's a God, but we don't care. I can't think of anything any worse than to admit you believe there's a God and then not honor Him as God. I'm telling you, an atheist is smarter than a man that admits there's a God and doesn't honor Him as God. He is a real fool to say, yep, there's God, He's a creator, He's all-powerful, but I'm not having anything to do with Him. I'm not interested in Him. They're men without conscience, verse 6 through 9. For this sort of they which crept into houses and led captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. They're victims. This literally tells us they use women. You know, the women's rights movements that are trying so hard to change the structure of the family that God created. And yet, how can they be so blind? One of the leading agents for evil in our society today is pornography. Most of that pornography is so abusive to women, uses women as the object of that pornography. You never have heard a national movement to advance women upset about pornography. It doesn't bother them. Now, you can get upset about everything else, but it really has not dawned on them how deprecating pornography is to women. Women are used so many ways in an evil society for evil and wrong. I read an article 2 weeks ago that I thought this is really the epitome of what's happened to our national political system. Two men running for state office, one from each party. 2 weeks before the election, one of the men who was running for this office hired a local prostitute to make an accusation against the man running against him that he had attacked her and tried to rape her. They had all the newspapers, created a great fervor. Serious problems affected the outcome of the election. When they finally pinned this woman down to pursue this case, and this man was going to be punished within an inch of his life for this horrible wickedness he did, the woman had a change of heart and decided to tell the truth. The truth was, she didn't even know this guy. The truth was, the other political candidate paid her $10,000 to make those charges. That's how we're selecting the leaders of our nation. Think about that. Let that soak in. You wonder how wicked men get in high political offices. First, God gives us what we deserve. And secondly, we don't get involved. We don't research and study and play a part in our national heritage. I don't believe the answer to our problems is in government or politics, but I believe every Christian has a responsibility to government and to the political climate in which he lives to contribute the best he can for moral right, to stand up for right. You watched a vote in this very city go contrary to any other vote before recently on alcohol sales on Sunday. How tragic for this community that we've taken that big a step backwards. Never could pass it before, but it's passed now. Their values, it says they resist the truth because they have corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. It's an interesting little phrase here. Minds which are unable to reason concerning our faith. What do you think our faith looks like to the corrupt minds of a lost person? They simply cannot reason this. Well, God told us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he understand them, for they are spiritually discerned. God told us clearly that the things of God are foolishness to men who don't know God. Now, here's where Christians constantly fail. They try to make the gospel palatable to men that don't know God. And so they're in their desire to explain it in a way that people can understand it. They begin to manipulate the truth in order to make it palatable for lost men. Let me tell you, the only hope and help for lost men is get them saved. Get them to Christ. Tell them the truth of the gospel. And then their lives will change because they have spiritual understanding. And that's what we need, spiritual understanding. Well, their folly shall be manifest to all men. That's their vanity. All their efforts to do away with God, to do away with the thought of God and the power of God, will come to naught. It's all going to come to naught. They can take down religious symbols and they can do away with the mention of God in the schools and they can take prayer out of the beginning of the football games and leave it at the beginning of Congress. They can do anything they want to do. None of it will affect God and the power of God and God's love for man. For God will be victorious. The book tells us, I read the last chapter, God will ultimately win. I just wonder what contribution you'll make to stop the corrosive influence of our society. In the end of the age, there are going to be perilous times. That word perilous can have the connotation of danger, but it primarily means apostate. Men who are apostate. Men who fight God and the principles and the truth of God. Well, we're not preaching about some future event. This passage of Scripture was written for today. And it tells us what's going on today. Which side of the battle are you going to be on? Are you going to stand for right and righteousness? Get into a good church and serve God through that church? I hope so. That's what we're training you for. I hope you get a hold of that truth. Father, thank you for this wonderful book that tells us what has happened, what's happening, and what's going to happen. No other book can do that. Thank you for preserving it for us, for the truth in it and the power in it. Help us to learn it and to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
You've heard a message by the Executive Vice President of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. Here's a question for prospective students. What's the easiest way to make an informed decision about college? The answer, come see for yourself. That's why Bob Jones University sends our motor coach to various states on more than a dozen bus trips every year to bring interested students to visit the campus. While they're here, students get a great behind-the-scenes look at campus life, classes, and the facilities. And special events and games are planned to ensure a great time. For information on future bus trips in your area, call 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. That's 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. Or you can visit us at www.bju.edu. Check out the special events planned for this fall at Bob Jones University. Chapel Echoes, which is broadcast weekly on this station, comes to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.